members, I guess we should start. We're dealing with two departments today. If we delay, it's going to catch up with us later. May I welcome our guests, the Director General from the Department of the Human Settlements, and the Department of, I must be careful when I call the names, or the Economic Development Department. It's not the Department of Economic Development Department. You're welcome. Welcome my colleagues from Human Settlements. Thank you very much for coming. The challenge, it looks like this office or a committee room is not very big. Sometimes when we have more people, there's a challenge of space. We have colleagues from the portfolio of Human Settlement. I guess the chairperson is also on the way. With your permission, DG Economic Development, we would like to start with Human Settlement. I guess that by 11:30 will be done at the latest, after which we take with the other committees. The reason why we invited you, all of you, is because of the fourth quarter report. As you know, both of you, you are coming before this committee for the first time. We welcome you and appreciate the fact that you have come. Maybe because you have been doing well, that's why we didn't have to invite you, I guess, I suppose. But this time, the reason we invited you is that with the Human Settlement, with your budget, we realize that if you look at the expenditure overall, it looks good. And the reason for that is because of the transfer that you must make to provinces for the Human Settlement Development, is it called? Yes, the Human Settlement Development Grant. Now, if you take that out and you look at what remains with the department, then there's a problem of spending there. From compensation of employees, your policy research and monitoring, housing planning and delivery, strategic relations and governance. And the issue really is that these programs, we guess that they are important programs because they are the programs that make the department a tick. Now, if there is understanding, now the problem, the challenge with that is, why is it that there is this understanding? And the Okay, person. Okay, join me this side. I know, I'm sharing. And I'm giving orders. So, and I was saying, if you take out the grant, I think that at the end of the day, the expenditure would really be low, around 80% or so. I'm just talking on average. And these programs, as I was indicating, are important programs. And thank you very much for giving us, for sending us your presentation up front. Though, could be our message was not very clear to you, because we send messages to many departments. You are now, you're no longer now a Department of Housing. You are a Department of Human Settlement, which should include sanitation. But in this presentation, also, we would like you to report on sanitation that we really don't see. But could I invite you to present to us? You may introduce your team. In fact, the other important guest that we have, which serves as our resource, is National Treasury. National Treasury is here, and you're welcome. In fact, let me just say up front, as I indicated, that you're presenting for the first time you are appearing for the first time in front of the committee. Though our committee is appropriation, but as a committee, we're also interested in performance of this appropriation. So it's just not only figures that we are interested in, 2+2. We are interested in what informs this 2+2. So we will not today do what we would normally do if we're not happy with the presentation. But we just want to say to you, in future, the report must really be, must tell the story. Not only interested in figures. Figures are important, yes, for this committee. But also, if we give this report to someone else who is not part of this committee, anyone must be able to have a broad understanding of what the presentation was all about. So, I'm saying we will allow you to present, but in future, please tell us about your story and tell us about, the presentation must also be indicated to say, from these challenges, this is how we move, we propose to move forward. Pichi, Zulu, you are invited with your team.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Good morning, members as well. Also, the chairperson of my committee. Morning, my chair. I would like to start, maybe, Chair, as you have indicated, to start by introducing the team that I'm with, which we're presenting to you, and thanks for inviting us when to. As I was saying, that we have a team with me. We have our Chief Operation Officer, Mr. Neville Chain, and we have our Acting CFO, who will be doing the presentation, Mr. Mbengo, on my far right, and behind him we have Mr. Nobatana, who is the Chief Director in my office. Yes, I know. He owes you, I know. I told him, Chair. And behind me, we have our manager for funds management, Ms. Funan Matlatsi. And also, we have our parliamentary officer, Mili Lekraba, from the Cape Town office, and Sean Solomons, who are all here. Chair, thanks very much for having invited us. And as you have correctly put it, that is the first time that you have invited us to this committee, and we're not very much sure as to how to contextualize our presentation in terms of your needs for this meeting. But I think the comments that you have made do highlight the angle that you'd like our presentation to take in the future in terms of reporting in both content and context of the numbers that we present. The invite, Chair, focused mainly on us to focus on the fourth quarter for our performance, and as well as expenditure and under expenditure. And we have already highlighted some of the areas that you would like us to focus on as we present, Chair. I can just indicate that the issues that you have raised, they do form part of the presentation, and the highlights you have made as well are also on the presentation. And in the absence of a contextual analysis of the numbers and the under expenditure, we will try and give much more meat on the content and the context of some of the numbers that we are presenting to you. And with your permission, Chair, I'm realizing that we have a technology challenge. I'm not sure if everybody does have the copies for the presentation. If that is the case, we can use the hard copies that we have whilst we're trying to sort out our technology, Chair. I'll get your guidance from that.
Thank you very much, DG. I suppose everyone has a copy of the technology. Honorable Sir, can you come back to your place, please?
You got the copy there,
Honorable. Do all members have copies? Okay. No, all members have got copies.
Thank you very much, Chair.
But anyone else who doesn't have a copy, you can just lift your hand, we will assist.
It looks like we have beaten technology, Chair. The screen is now operating. Yeah. Thanks, Chair. I will then hand over to the Acting CFO, Mr. Mbengo, to lead us on the discussion, and request that we emphasize on the issues that you have already highlighted as they appear on our presentation. Thank you, Chair, and members.
Thank you, Chair. We'll start with the slide on the screen. It gives the allocation to the department for 2010-2011 financial year. You will notice, Chair, that the original allocation was 14.036 billion. In the previous financial year, 2009-2010, and for the 2010-2011 financial year, which is the year we are about, is 16.2 billion. There were adjustments during the financial year amounting to 90.278 million, giving us an adjusted allocation of 16.291 billion. On the next slide, Chair. Slide number 3. The same allocation is given as a revised estimate with the medium-term estimates for the three financial years following after that. But it's split by programs, starting with Program 1, Administration, with 211,997 million. Housing Policy Research and Monitoring, 47.686 million. Housing Planning and delivery support to 25221 million, and the housing development finance. The housing development finance chair has within it various allocations. It is a program which houses all the grants which are transferred to provinces and municipalities. Within that 18.6 billion, you have.
I'm sorry, CFO. You know, this committee is having this presentation for the first time. Maybe the portfolio committee might be familiar. In other words, you must also tell us why the figures in page one differ from figures on page two. We must know so that if you say, for instance, on page one, the total allocation was 16.2 million, and I mean for 2011. So I don't know, what am I saying? So, in 2010, for instance, on page one with a different figure on page two. Just take us on board with you so that we can understand what's happening. You see what I'm saying, Virginia?
Okay, let's go to slide number three, Chair. Looking at the revised estimate, the allocation for administration is 211,997, and housing policy research and monitoring is 47,686. Housing planning and development delivery support is 225,221. And the housing development finance chair is 18,663,357. Within that figure, chair, there are allocations to municipalities in respect of the grants. You will notice, Chair, that the first one is Human Settlement Development Grant, which is 12.898 billion. And the Urban Settlement Development Grant, which is 5.157 billion. That grant, Chair, is a new grant, which we didn't have the previous financial year. It's a new grant the current year. During 2010-2011, we did not have Urban Settlement Development Grant. The figure has been put in as a comparative. The grant used to be a grant under COCTA. It was a grant intended for cities, but after cabinet decision, that grant was moved over to human settlements. But we have put in the figure for the previous financial year for comparative purposes. Hence, you will notice, Chair, that it's not included in the allocation for human settlements in the year under review. Then the next amount is 133.8 million, which is the Housing Disaster Relief Grant, which was a grant allocated specifically to KwaZulu-Natal. 2010-2011 was the last year of that grant. Hence, you will notice that it does not appear in the rest of the MTF. Then the next amount is departmental agencies, 312,193 million, and the following amount is rural household infrastructure grant, which was 100 million for the financial year, and the strategic relations and governance program, which was allocated 157,660, and that gives a total amount of the revised estimate of 19.305 billion, Chair. That also gives comparative figures over the financial year. On slide 4, Chair, the allocation is the same still the same allocation, but it is shown in a pie chart. You will notice that on the left, the pie chart indicates that the majority or the greater part of the allocation of the department, almost 94%, is constituted by transfers to provinces, is grant basically to provinces, and 2.33 is constituted by transfer payments and buildings and other fixed structures, which is an allocation which has got in it two things. One, the allocation for the RIP program, which is funding the sanitation function, and then the rest is fixed assets. And 4.1% is the operational budget of the department. As you will notice, that 4.1% is then taken on the second pie chart and split among various programs of the department. There are five programs in total. Program one, which is called administration, program two, housing policy research and monitoring, program three, housing planning and delivery support, program four, housing development finance, and program five, which is strategic relations and governance. The actual amounts, Jay, have already been indicated on the previous slide. On slide number five, Jay, it gives the expenditure by program for the year ending 31st March 2011. The first column gives the actual expenditure. And the second column gives the adjusted allocation. The third column gives the variance. And the last column gives the percentage spending. You will notice, Chair, that, for example, in administration, the actual expenditure was 188,597 against the adjusted allocation in respect of that program of 221. And that gives the variance of 32.59 million. And that amounts to 85% spending on the allocation. And in the second program, housing policy research and monitoring, you will notice here that the actual percentage spending was 74%. The third program was 76%. The fourth program, which is the program which houses all the grants, was almost 100%. And the fifth program, strategic relations and governance, was 60%. The next slide check gives the same information, but using the bar chart, comparing expenditure by program to the allocation in respect of each program. It's the same information as on the previous slide check, but it's just given in a bar chart. The next slide, Chair, which is entitled Expenditure by Economic Classification, it gives the same expenditure, but it classifies it using economic classification. For an example, with compensation, expenditure was 216,455,000, goods and services 225,099, interest paid on financial leases was 173, and the total for the whole department, you will notice, Chair, is 16.091 billion, against a total allocation of 16,291, and it gives a variance, which is total amount not spent, as 199,760,000, and the percentage spending of the whole department is 99%. We then move to the fourth quarter, Chair. If we take just the fourth quarter and look at what was the spending by the department, the total taking the total allocation on the first column against the projection in respect of the third quarter, you will notice, Chair, that in total, the projections were that we will be spending 3.793 billion in the fourth quarter, and the actual amount spent was 4.034 billion, with a variance of 240.975 billion. You will notice, Chair, that the actual expenditure during the fourth quarter was in excess of the projections during that quarter, which is the fourth quarter of the financial year. You will also notice, Chair, that the actual, the main contributing programs is Program 4 and Program 5, where in Program 4 we have a negative variance of 243,530 million, and Program 5 is you have a negative variance of 7 million. Those two, Chair, I must indicate, are mainly because of transfers to public entities, as well as expenditure on the sanitation grant, which is called the RAP program, because most expenditure in that program took place in the fourth quarter of the financial year, as well as transfers to public entities. For example, last year, it was the first year for the SHRA, it was the first year of operation for a public entity called SHRA, Social Housing Regulatory Authority. Our projections for them were not exact because we were not sure exactly how they were going to claim the monies. So the end result was that in the fourth quarter, more money was transferred to them. And the last...
I'm sure if members are understanding you or hear what you're saying. I don't hear what you're saying. So what are you saying about this entity?
What I'm saying, Chair, is that...
We must tell us that the entity was formed on the 1st of April 2010, and you were not sure, and then you tell us the story that you're telling so that we can understand. We're hearing this presentation for the first time. Please.
The entity was established in the previous financial year, Chair. It started operating in the 2010-2011 financial year. But due to delays in the establishment of the entity, it did not start exactly in March, or sorry, in April, on the 1st of April. So our projections in terms of how much will be transferred to the entity were estimates which did not actually materialize. So we ended up transferring more money towards the end of the financial year, because it was now, it started operating during the financial year, and that affected the fourth quarter transfers to public entities. Hence the negative of 243. Of course, the second reason of that negative is the fact that expenditure on the RIP program, which is the sanitation funding program, took place mainly in the fourth quarter of the financial year. The fifth program, which is Strategic Relations and Governance, you will also notice that there is a negative variance of 7 million, and that is mainly because of the turnaround strategy process the department is undergoing, which started really kicking in towards the end of the financial year, in the last quarter of the financial year. On this next slide, Chair, which is slide number 9, we have the same quarter, fourth quarter expenditure, but it is given or shown by economic classification. You will notice, for an example, that under compensation of employees, the projections for the fourth quarter were 70.149 million, but the actual expenditure for the quarter was 51.323 million, giving a variance of 18.5 0.826 million. And for goods and services, you have 2.487 million as a variance, and interest on paid leases being 328,201,000. In total, when you look at that slide, you will notice that in total our projections being 3.7 billion against the actual expenditure of 3 or 4 billion, giving a variance of 240. And when you look at it, you will also notice that the main contributing expenditure items is transfer and subsidies, which is 225, followed by payment of capital assets, and the last item being goods and services. When you look at it by economic classification, and those are the three contributing factors on the variance. When you then move to the next slide, Chair, it takes the human settlement development grant allocations to provinces, and the slide gives the voted amount of 15.026 billion and splits it by provinces, with Eastern Cape getting 1.598 billion, Free State 1.3 billion, and you go down up to the total of 15.026 billion. That slide also shows the adjustments during the financial year. You will notice that there were adjustments on provincial allocations, which were amounts the provinces got from provincial treasuries, either as rollovers or additional allocations. The total amount of those additional or those adjustments is 207,675,000. And the next column, Chair, which amounts at the bottom with 15 million, it gives adjustments which were instituted by the National Department. You will notice, for an example, that with the Eastern Cape, there is a 39 million. Free State, there is 263 million. Those amounts, Jay, mainly divided into two, I would say. First were movements between provinces. During the year, there was a situation where some provinces were not spending the performance as compared to other provinces and as compared to their projections was very low. And so the department instituted a shifting of funds between provinces, and the result was that some provinces which demonstrated ability to spend got additional amounts, while other provinces which could not spend as projected, they lost some money. For an example, with Free State, you will notice that 263 million was shifted from Free State and 80 million from KwaZulu-Natal, and that money was...
I'm sorry, just to interrupt you. I don't know if you're able to say it was shifted maybe from Free State to province. What? If you are able to do that immediately.
Yes, Chair. The 263, which was shifted from Free State, went to Northern Cape. You will notice that Northern Cape got 174 million. You'll also notice that Limpopo got 130 million. And you will also notice that the Eastern Cape got 39 million. In addition to that, Chair, there was a 100 million which was originally allocated to Northwest for Khutsong, and that amount was moved as a result of the finality on the borders with regards to Khutsong. That amount was moved from Northwest to Gauteng. which was 100 million, you will notice that there is a negative 100 million from Northwest, which was moved to Gauteng. You will notice also that Gauteng Indic shows 115 million. That amount is made up of two figures, the 100 million, which was moved from Northwest, and an amount of 15 million, which was moved from the National Department's operational budget because of a particular project which had to be implemented. And that gives a total of 115 million which moved to Gauteng. The next column, Chair, gives the total adjusted allocation. And the last column, the total available amount, which is a total of the adjustments, the initial voted amount. The next slide, Chair. The next slide gives the actual spending by provinces, right, Chair? You will notice that the fourth column indicates what was spent by provinces, totaling to 14.088 billion, and split by various provinces. And the next column gives what was not spent by provinces, which totals to 441 million. And the last column indicates the percentages in terms of how much was spent by each province as against the individual allocations. You will notice that in total, provinces spent 97.1% against what was available for them to spend. If you go to the bottom of the slide, Chair, you will notice that there was 133.8 million allocated to KZN, which for housing disaster relief grant, and they spent 100% of that amount. The next slide, Chair, gives the same information but in a chart and in a different form. I will not get into that slide, Chair. I will move to the next slide. Which is slide number 13, spending analysis and by provinces for the fourth quarter. That slide just takes the last quarter and it indicates the actual spending by provinces. You will notice, Chair, that if you look at the column called spent by provinces, it gives the amount spent by each province against what was transferred in the fourth quarter. For an example, in total, provinces spent 4.6 billion in that quarter, but a total of 3.5 billion was transferred to the provinces, which indicates that more was spent in the fourth quarter against what was actually transferred to them in that quarter. You will also notice, Chair, that the last column gives spent as a percentage of transferred funds, and it indicates that some provinces spent more than what was transferred. You will notice, for example, that with Free State, they spent 312% of what was transferred to them. In the next column, in the next slide, Chair, the slide gives an indication of what was actually delivered by the provinces in terms of sites serviced as well as houses completed. And it gives that information against the targets for the in respect of each province. For example, with regard to the sites, the target for the Eastern Cape was 8,000, but the actual service sites delivered were 12,979. With regard to houses, their target was 22,000. The houses completed were 10,784. And when you take the two figures, the last column is just a total. With regard to the annual target, it takes both the target for houses and the target for service sites, and it compares it to the actual delivery. The total for the Eastern Cape, for example, is 23,763 against the annual target of 30,000. When you move to the bottom of that slide, Chair, you will notice that the annual target was 213,634. and the actual delivery in total was 185,425, and that figure includes both sites as well as the actual houses delivered. And that, Chair, is the last slide of the presentation. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. That concludes the financial performance for the fourth quarter, as indicated earlier on, and the narrative is, and the context, as we have indicated, Chair, we may provide a much more in-depth analysis of our presentation later on to the committee, or if the committee feels strongly that we do that, we can also do another presentation in that guide. But I think, Chair, the emphasis, it's mainly on the concerns that you have raised in terms of the areas where there's been under expenditure and the context to it has been provided, Chair. But if there are any questions that the committee might like to raise, Chair, the team will be prepared to attend to that. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you. Honourable members, I'm in your hands. Honourable Farabam, Honourable Swart.
Thank you, Chairperson. My question is about that 74% spent on slide 5, that is housing policy assistance monitor. Only 74% is spent. Now, there are many allocations about problems in housing and corruption and all that kind of allocations. Now, how can you plan if you don't use your money for research and monitoring? If there is a 26% is not spent on research and monitoring, because that research and monitoring is so important for planning. So I want to ask if they can provide me with a question on that specific. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Commissioner. Honorable Sartre.
Thank you, Chair. I don't know whether the question was put to the department correctly, but they seem to have concentrated to a large extent on the fourth quarter only, whereas we are interested in the whole year. The only thing we're interested in the fourth quarter is really is whether there's been spiking or not, whether they tried to spend all their money in the last quarter. But in any case, that's just for information. If I can go to slide 7, Chair. Interest paid to financial leases, if we can have more about detail about of that, why only 23% was spent on that, because didn't we pay the rest or wasn't it necessary? And then payment for capital assets at only 59%. Why that low percentage on that specific one? And then, Chair, I would like to go to slide 13. And it's a very worrying factor, Chair, that when we look at the fourth quarter there, it's and the spent as a percentage of the total available. In other words, there's money available for housing, but if you look at the percentages actually spent of those of the funds that are available, they are very low. And you know,
what slide is that, Honourable?
I beg your pardon.
What slide is that? 18.
13.
Slide 13. If you look at the second last column there, you'll see the spent as a percentage of the total available is very low. And what is the department doing to make sure that we increase that those amounts so that the people spend the money that's available? Because housing, as you would know and agree, is very important for the country.
Honourable Sir, that's for me to understand. My understanding of slide 13 is that they just said on slide 13 there was this allocation. In other words, calculated it on the tranches of 25% threshold. And of that, instead of, for instance, let's take Eastern Cape. They are saying instead of 25%, Eastern Cape spent 21%. Is it how it is? Not that it's not the total, what you call a percentage, but it's based on the average of the year.
but that is why it's confusing to you. I see he mentions the fourth quarter here, but then he gets expenditure of 45%, for instance, the case of KwaZulu-Natal. I'm interested in the year figure to see how we've performed.
Obviously, one of the things that's very confusing with this particular department is the fact that probably 97% to 98% are transfers to provinces, which distorts the picture somewhat. And if one takes that out of the budget, and as you said earlier, if you only look at the administrative costs for the department, excluding those transfers, and we're looking at something in the order of 79%, which is obviously, as the other member indicated, key programs. There's under expenditure. We all know that we've got problems across the country with quality of housing, and yet we find that the monitoring from the department side is there's actually very low expenditure. But Chairperson, what's also what I find strange is because perhaps unlike your committee, we also obviously look at deliverables and not just the finances. And I've expressed this concern over the years, that if you look at the expenditure by the provinces, they generally in the 90% mark. And it worries me then if you look at their deliverables, that very few of them have reached their targets, which leads me again to the question about bed planning, because I would imagine that you set your targets against your budget. Now, the question to me is how do you actually spend all your money without reaching that target? And in other cases where you actually exceed the target, but you've spent more or less the budget. So it's something that doesn't make sense, because there should be some synergy between your deliverables and your expenditure. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honourable State. Any other comments? Honourable Bowman. Comrade Bowman.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think the other thing that was noted here on slide 8 about the sanitation program, I think maybe if there are figures that are going to come out of the department again, it would be good to just get a little bit more detail regarding that sanitation program, because we are far behind with that. And I think we as a committee are very concerned about that as well. And I think it might be just as well too. I think the other thing is that in these figures, and obviously we have also had an opportunity to look at them, and that is what is confusing also is the fact that we make the adjustments but we can't spend the money. And I think we need to be watching that. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair.
I just want to know the criteria that is used for the provinces to access the money from the National Department. Because there are monies that have been taken from the provinces because they are not performing. That's why I want to know how do they access the money that at the end of the day they are not able to use it. Another clarity that I need, I don't see properly because my second pair of eyes is not with me, so you'll bear with me. You mentioned that there's a grant. I don't know which grant that no longer exists. The last time it was used in KZN, but it was
a disaster management.
Disaster management grant. Was it So it was it used for the last time or it has worked before? Is KZN mentioned as the last province for the grant to be used? Or it was only used in KZN? That was not clear to me. And why was it stopped? There's 100 million that has been taken from Khutsong because Khutsong has because of this it's no longer with the Northwest, it's now under Gauteng. So the 100,000 a million that was allocated to it went to Gauteng. You talked about 15 million that came from departments. That was, so just explain further, unpack that 15 million that came from, I don't know where, so I just did not get that. Just a clarity of that other 15 million. How did it get to that budget of Gauteng?
Thank you. Honorable Mbile.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just a quick one on the housing delivery, the last presentation. I see that your explanation with regard to the size, target, service size completed, and I see that Free State, for instance, did not have the service size completed. The figure is not there. And but if you go to the second but last slide, Free State has overspent by 312%. Will that mean that Free State is building houses where there are no service sites? Is that the reason why you don't have a figure there? And if you compare that with that 312%, just a clarity on that. Because other provinces, you can see the numbers of service sites there completed, and we don't see that in Free State, and yet there's that alarming percentage there of spending. That's the first one, Chair. But a rider to my colleague Yengen earlier, Chairperson, would be the criteria that the department is using to allocate funds later on in the year decided to shift funds. Here we got the explanation that money was shifted, I think, from KZN, an amount of 80 million went to Limpopo. But again, on the last but one slide here, if you get the fourth quarterly report, the very same Limpopo was unable to spend its allocation. At the end of the fourth quarter, Limpopo was sitting at 61%. Having received an additional shifted fund, I just want to pause there because I want to engage the officials on that one. If my understanding is correct here, it's like Limpopo here at the end of the fourth quarter only spent 61%, yet they received an additional 80 million from an unspent from the provinces which had no capacity to spend. That money went to Limpopo. Limpopo, at the end of the day, was unable to spend to start off answering this question, it will be interesting to hear about the criteria that you guys, that the National Annual Office are using first and foremost to allocate funds and down the year, in-year monitoring mechanism that you employ. You decided that this couple, this certain province A does not have the capacity to spend. How does that come about? Let me pause there, Chairperson, because I'm very much interested in this Limpopo issue.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, and good morning, Honorable Members. And I would like to extend the appreciation for the invitation to this meeting and to participate. And I believe that we are towards the BRRR process. We are moving towards the BRRR process, and this session is going to assist us as the Portfolio Committee. And it confirms that we are implementing the money bills now. We have started.
Thank you.
So we are going to take part. We are going to confer about other meetings, because we have to also brief you as the committee about the oversight that we have performed as the Portfolio Committee, the observations that we have observed on the performance of the department throughout the year. I just want to check this shifting of funds, because here we are being informed that there were funds that were shifted from Free State to Northern Cape. Can the department clarify this? Because according to the knowledge of the Portfolio Committee, in the headquarter, when funds were, the department announced that they are going to shift funds from the various provinces, and Free State was one of those provinces, but it ended up sending more. I think it was 133 million. There was a spike, and this spike is not mentioned here, and we would like to know, what was that money spent on, that 133 million? The department made a follow-up on that one, because I think, I don't believe that we can say 263 funds were shifted, because according to us, there were no funds that were shifted, because they overspent. There was a spike. Then coming to the issue of saying the Free State, they overspent according to this report. Where did they get this money if the funds were shifted? And then the issue of KZN, in terms of the report that we received, Chairperson, the 200 million was shifted from KZN to another province, which I don't know. Yes, but when the Portfolio Committee went to KZN in March, KZN informed the Portfolio Committee that they received 150 million, which was transferred to them. So can we get the clarity? What were the figures actually that were transferred? And another issue, I think it is important that the department provides the performance, because I don't think the budget, the appropriations is for just figures. You can't just go there and debate figures. We have to tell the nation what the money was used for. And then the issue of vacancies. How do you perform if you don't have enough capacity in terms of staff? How do you perform as the department? So I think those were the issues. I think they are very much important that we can look at. In fact, there's quite a lot, but let's just pause there.
Unfortunately, I had an urgent issue to attend to, but the issue of rural development must also be attended to, because they had, according to the NENE, they had 100 million, which was under rural developed household infrastructure. And it's quite concerning that only 66%, according to this document, was spent. How can we, when people in rural areas, and we know how desperate they are for housing and many other issues that have to do with decent living, dignity in their house, in their lives, and the department just has no proper strategy, I think, or plan in utilizing that amount. And again, what concerned me, I don't know whether it was addressed, this entity. How it was established during 2010-2011, and they say it started operating during the financial year, when we don't know. But I think it is the duty of the accounting officer to make sure that whatever time they started, the money appropriated to them should fit the time from when they started operating, and not just transfer, because that entity had to receive a certain amount of money. If we can understand what was the rationale of transferring this money during the fourth quarter, when they actually were not in a position, and they were not established during the term when they were supposed to be established, what caused the transfer of all that money to those people? And this over expenditure, there's a lot of unauthorized expenditure as you go on in this fourth quarter. Who actually approved it? Thank you.
Thank you very much. Honorable members, Colonel Mashiko. You see, at the DG, at the end of the, at the time of the adjustment, when we passed the adjustment, this is what was passed. Adjusted estimate of national expenditure. Now, if you look at the figures here, if you look at these figures here, that are presented here, they're not the same. Now, Parliament passes this one, this figure. But the adjusted figures here and this don't tally. That's why. What is the problem? Why is it that they don't tally? I mean, the question that Honorable Mashiko, for instance, that is raising, that exactly. What happens? Do we pass the adjusted, and then thereafter you still did some other variants? What exactly happens so that we can understand? But also, doesn't this undermine the whole process of the parliamentary budget process? Because if you my understanding of the process is that you propose, you go to National Treasury, they approve, they bring them to Parliament that approves, finally approves the budgeting, because it's the one that approves the budget. Now, the figures are not the same here, the way I see them. But if you want to see the book, you're welcome to do that. I mean, all of it from Program 1, the last program. They are just not the same. But something that really surprises me, the total is the same. The total is one total is the same. And, so I don't understand why. But the other question that Honorable Mashiko raises is about the rural the Royal Household Infrastructure Development Grant. Now, I think that at the time of your presentation, you're saying it's for sanitation. I don't know if I'm correct, but generally, the question Honorable Mashiko raises is what is it? Does the department have a policy for rural, what you call a housing? You know, we went we did an oversight when the Eastern Cape. There was one family there with a big, you call our places crawl and our places house, but the family was called a household that was there. You know, one person says to us, but we want a RDP house. Now, joking, I say to the person, okay, we're going to destroy your whole, what you call a household, and build you an RDP house. He says, no, I don't want, don't do that. All we want is that you do it here. We will put our chicken so that it can have a place to stay and all kinds of things. So I mean, that's what the person said. But the question that really was asking is the policy. Is there a rural, what you call it, a housing policy? If so, in other words, if my constituents is in the rural areas, what do I say to them when they don't have houses? I think that they are supposed to access as well the housing, as well as the urban people do. But there's no, what you call it, that doesn't seem to be the policy here. Other than the if then the infrastructure means only sanitation. But the last question that I would like to emphasize is the question that was raised by Honorable Harold Blom around this, I think Honorable Stein as well, that if you took out the development grant and look at the housing, the spending of the department would have been very, very low. You see, the challenge that the committees or parliament is sitting with is that now we're no longer in those days of apartheid, when the budget day, for instance, was this big, big thing, because nobody knew how much is going to be allocated to the different departments. But now we have an MTF sighting. You know today, sitting here, how much you'll be receiving next year, 2012, 2013. In fact, it is even here. But what this means is that we should plan for the beginning of the year. The acting CFO said, for instance, this public entity, I couldn't get the name properly. Shra. Huh? Oh, yeah. My tongue is short. I may not be able to pronounce it. Now, it was established in 2009, but could only be allocated funds in at the last quarter of 2010-2011. What is the problem? Because the idea of the MTEF says that we must be able to plan in advance for the following year, so that when we pass the budget, for instance, there should be credibility in the budget, that what you're really proposing in the budget is something that is going to be implemented. If not, then it means that the whole budget will not be credible, because we're just passing a budget that we're not going to implement. Now, why is it then that there is a problem with implementation when we're supposed to be planning? We know now how much we're going to get, so it means that we should know exactly that what infrastructure do we need in order to be able to deliver project so and so. That here we don't know. But also, DG, you know, I'm not a bright person, you know. Here we've got allocations in terms of the budget on slide number 2. Slide 3 comes and there's another allocation which changes now that budget on slide 2. Now, what is it that you are accounting for here? Because our understanding is that the department was given 16.291. Now, on the on slide 3, it's 19.3. If, for instance, the other allocations were belong to COPTA or whoever, or a Department of Water Affairs and Forestry and what, shouldn't that go to up to the end of the year, that financial year? Because if in our understanding of the budget process of Parliament or of government is that in order to legitimize it, if you want to transfer it to another area, there is a process of doing it during adjustment. That's when we establish new departments, we did this, we move the resources accordingly, and Parliament approves it so that we can be able to account. Now we've got these resources that are flying. We don't know whether you're accounting for it in the human settlement or they should be accounted for in COPTA. Where should they be accounted for exactly? What is your budget in terms of your understanding? So, yeah. Now if you could help. Thank you.
I forgot one question about the sanitation grant. Can they unpack it as to what is that? Do they expect the provinces to do with it? Because they provide, they give the funds. Definitely, when you are allocating funds, you are expecting A, B, C, D to be done. And in each province, what improvement has been done by this grant? Let me say the last financial year, what improvement has been done with this grant? Are you relying on the reports that are sent to you by the provinces to say we have done A, B, C, D, or you have your soldiers on the ground? So how do you see the difference in terms of progress done by this grant? But also, as I said, explain it to me, what is it? Do they have to buy furniture, coffee tables, whatever? So I want to understand it in that way.
Thank you, Honorable Yengen. In fact, maybe I can as well answer for them that there's no capacity to monitor, Honorable Yengen. I mean, if you look at the slide on page 5, 74%, clearly it says there's no capacity to monitor. And also, to add to your question, for instance, if provinces spend 4 billion at the last quarter, provinces that have KZN, for instance, targets to spend 644 million, but they spend double that amount, 1.2 million. Does that translate into housing delivery? Can you say that during that period, people have really benefited as a result of the spike? Or is just shifting these funds around or committing them, as we say that? what is exactly meant that? I mean, if the together the portfolio committee and appropriations go, for instance, can we able to say when we go to KZN and to any province, if they say that we spend this amount of money at the last quarter, can they be able to point to us, these are the people that from the last quarter have benefited from these units? Because we have had experiences where monies are moved from one province to the other. And experience has been that it has not translated to how they deliver. I can mention, if you want, we have been there. But in this case here, because clearly you have yourself indicated that you don't have the capacity. Maybe we may as well know that in the context of what the President said at the State of the Nation as well, the need to fill those funded posts. Have you got a plan? Thank you.
But they will still have to answer for themselves. No, they will. Thank you. They will.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair, honorable members, for those very important questions that we have posed in relation to our presentation. I just want to deal with a few of those, and the team will also deal with some of the issues in terms of the presentation and the numbers as requested. Chair, I think the issue maybe to start with is the issue around the adjusted estimates as per the final document that you made reference to, that as a department we follow the normal due process. So in any situation where we have to actually adjust our estimates or our budget at any given moment, we make sure that we go through that through vermin process as required by DORA. So we would like to do some reconciliation and see where there could have been a misprint, if any. But from a process point of view, we make sure that we go through a normal treasury process. And treasury is also here. I'm sure they can confirm that. It's a required process. So at no stage during this particular year at review, we have not done that. Where it happens, obviously, the internal audit unit will be able to pick it up. If not, the office of the AG will pick it up, and that becomes an audit query. But we make sure that we follow that process, and I also make sure in my accounting responsibility that the system is in place to manage that. So it might be a good thing to reconcile the document that you have shown us with what we have at our disposal. The other issue, Chair, that I would like to deal with, maybe, and you have made this point yourself, is the issue around the multi-year planning as per the MTF. It is true that the system is actually assisting, particularly a sector like ours, where planning requires a much more longer than one financial year to do that. And in terms of our engagement with provinces, we emphasize that because that's where we can be able to manage and also monitor what you are doing. And it's linked into what Honorable Member Steyn was saying in terms of the targets at times that exceed the figures in terms of the financial performance. I think we have tried to explain this, Chair, but it's also important to recognize the fact that the National Department, through its processes managed at national level, we approve the business plans as submitted to us by the provinces, Chair, and we sign a certificate off, and I do that in my capacity as the accounting officer. Technically speaking, Chair, that's the end of the story, technically speaking, in the sense that than the performance of the business plans is done by the accounting officers themselves at provincial levels with their respective MECs. But as you have seen in our presentation, that we have a fully fledged branch that deals with monitoring and performance, and that is linked not only at our own performance at national level in terms of our work, but it's also linked into how provinces themselves actually perform on the business plans that they've submitted to us. Now, there are different factors that come into play here. One is that the manner in which they budget for their targets may not be necessarily linked into their expenditure. So it might be a bit misleading to look at the targets that have been set and measure that against the budget that is being spent. There are certain elements that are involved that requires funding that may not be necessarily be part of the targets. One element, for example, you need land to build houses, and that factor at times is not reflected as a target because you've got to buy land, then build some houses, and you spend money in doing so. So as you plan your multi-year arrangement, you'll have a process where you must get the land, access the land, make sure that it's feasible for the type of human settlements that you want to put in place, and that becomes another financial component, which may not necessarily mean that in that particular year you'll then be able to actually deliver certain targets on the same year. So that is also informed by the type of business plans that we get. In some instances, there's also geotech assessment that must be done, and also that comes with cost. So these are some of the elements that you may not necessarily find in the targets as put for the delivery of houses. So we look into it in that holistic fashion. But that does not justify, Chair, the issue around spikes, as has been mentioned, in terms of expenditure. I think if members are actually looking for a detail in terms of where the money is actually spent, especially on the fourth quarter, as per the request of our presentation for today, in each and every province, we may be able to pull that information and give it to you to make sure that you get a sense of how the money has been spent. I must indicate that as part of our oversight responsibility departmentally from a national perspective to do that, and in situations where we have had concerns has been raised by members, also by our Honourable Chair for Portfolio Committee, we do advise Treasury as well in writing. And in the instances that we have mentioned, we took a responsibility to the department to inform Treasury about our concerns on certain expenditures that seem not to be in line with the business plans that we have at our disposal, and also in line with the targets that we should see on the ground against what is being spent. So we do take the responsibility of informing our Treasury as well in our oversight responsibility for that. But the detailed information, if it's required, in terms of how each and every cent has been spent, we can be able to access that using our system. And once we have done that, Chair, then Treasury will act appropriately. If need be, some of the teams will be sent on the ground. I know for a fact that in two provinces, Treasury together with AG are involved in trying to ascertain how certain monies have been spent on the ground as per the manner in which the increase of the expenditure has taken place, particularly on the fourth quarter. So we work with them together in the management of that particular aspect. The other matter, Chair, that I would like to attend to is the issue about the transfer of funds that most honourable members have alluded to. We normally do the assessment, Chair, and when we do acknowledge, maybe at this point in time, I should acknowledge the fact that in terms of capacity, Chair, and we have made a specific question on this particular matter, the question of capacity for effective monitoring on the ground for the projects that have been approved on the business plans that we sign off before the issuing of the certificate. We are in the process of increasing. The capacity that we have had in the last years has been limited, and that has affected the effectiveness of monitoring on the ground. What we are doing at this point in time is to beef up capacity at national level with the establishment of the program management unit, which we have since established. also as per the advice of the portfolio committee and also having realized the importance of it. And this is the unit that is now functioning. We should also be monitoring the quality of delivery on the ground as per the business plans that we receive and sign off at national level. And we are doing it on quarterly basis. But we also do have teams, as we speak, at national level that are responsible for this particular exercise. Now, what normally happens, Chair, is that as we monitor, we normally use the third quarter performance to determine the kind of decisions that could be taken at a national level in terms of our minister informed by the DORA in terms of what could be done with the non-performing provinces. But, Chair, an alarm is not only raised at the third quarter report of that particular financial year. In every MINMEC meeting where all MECs and HODs and relevant officials sit, we also provide financial performance assessment of each and every province, and we also highlight where there are elements of underperformance. And as we go along, we also recommend to different provinces to reflect on the recovery plans in terms of how they intend to deal with their underperformance as per the business plans that we have at our disposal. But when we get into the third quarter, because that happens during the year, I mean, in the last MINMEC, we had a similar exercise and engagement with all provinces and the HODs, where we're highlighting areas where there's clearly an indication that if the performance financially, it's where it is, already it's raising an alarm for another challenge when we do the third performance. As a result, there will be a special MINMEC that will be taking place in September so that we begin to look much more closely into the financial performance of our provinces in the sector. However, Chair, when it comes to the last quarter, that's where, by all means, decisions must be taken. And also taking the legal competency as reflected in DORA, where it empowers the minister to act appropriately. And this is the same approach that the department adopted in the last financial year, which is then reflected on the last fourth quarter performance for the sector. The criteria, Chair, that is being raised is that you look into the level of underperformance of different provinces, and there is no doubt when you do that assessment on the fourth quarter, surely you are empowered to make a decision based on the numbers we have at your disposal to make that decision. The risk is that you are almost at the end of the financial year. So what it means, therefore, you'll have to thoroughly assess the performing provinces who may have done their homework in terms of their planning to be able to do certain things before the end of the financial year. And you'll also confirm through their submissions in terms of the plans that they'll have to use the money that will be given to them. And yes.
Sorry, I really don't want to interrupt. Did I understand to say you assess at the fourth quarter whether people will be able to
third quarter
to perform?
Third quarter.
Oh, you said
third quarter.
Sorry.
Yes. I'm raising that at the third quarter, that's when the decision must be made, because we are only left basically with the last quarter. But before you make that decision, you also receive submissions from performing provinces. And in this instance, Chair, and I think that relates to the question as well asked by Honorable Mbili, that you then begin to look into provinces that have been performing, and you look into their figures because you've got at their disposal. They further make a submission to you to consider additional funding and for what that funding will be used before the end of the financial year. So it's not a thumbs-up process where the minister will just choose using his powers where the money should go, where the money should not go. It's based on the submissions. It's based on how that particular province has been performing in that particular financial year. is based on how the money to be transferred to them will be used, and then we test the business plan that they submit to us. And on the basis of that, then the decision to transfer a certain amount is done by the minister. Now, the question that has been asked relates in particular to how then does it happen that at the end of the financial year, the money that is transferred to the so-called performing province, it's still not used or it's underspending. One of the challenges, Chair, that I've personally picked up as the accounting officer is the limited time to even get that process concluded. I remember at a point where the two provinces, Northern Cape and Limpopo, were saying, we've made your submissions, you have made an approval, but there are processes that need to be followed before the last signature is put. And believe you me, Chair, that normally happens in February. Now,
you're saying for the process of transferring,
absolutely,
effectively transferring,
absolutely,
resources.
Absolutely, Chair.
Okay.
Now, that's one challenge that we are beginning. So we remember that as we do this, we're also highlighting certain processes that make the process itself even more difficult to manage. This is one area. The process to make the transfer finally done normally ends at the end of February, and just 1 month before the end of the financial year. Nevertheless, we took a risk in this particular instance. Actually, I took a risk to say we've got the plan, we've got the money, the process has been undertaken. Continue and implement your project business plan you have submitted as per the approval of the minister, with the risk that the National Treasury will actually approve that, which does happen. But by the time it happens, you'll find that the implementation is not as effective as it should be. So we've got to review, maybe, is it right to do it on the third quarter if we don't get project management efficiency in place, or should we do it on the second quarter so it can give performing provinces sufficient time to plan and implement as per the transferred funds. I will assume for now, Chair, that the challenge then with Limpopo was the implementation of the transfer. In fact, this is an AG query, and we have made our submission to AG on this particular matter in terms of the transfer that took place. We gave our word to say continue and implement on condition that it will be finally approved by National Treasury. But the process to do that takes a little bit longer. So we are dealing with that, Chair. But I've just given a perspective as to how the decision is arrived at. So it's not a thumbs-up thing. We receive submissions. We look into the business plans. We look into how they've been performing in the last three quarters before they move to the fourth one. And based on that, we then advise the minister appropriately. The issue, Chair, that has been raised is also the question of the grant for KZN. And yes, Chair, this was the last grant. It was designed for a specific purpose. It was supposed to serve. There is no more grant for this financial year. It was in place for a specified period by Treasury, and we won't have the same grant for KZN for disaster management. The issue around vacancies, Chair, and
my question is, was it specially for KZN, or it has been used in other areas? I hear and I accept that to say you are saying that it's no longer existing, but I want to know, was it a grant that was specially designed for KZN for that particular crisis that was there? That's what I don't know. Want to know.
The latter comment, Chair, from the Honourable Member, it's a correct one. It was a special allocation for KZN only to deal with disaster situation at KZN, not for any other province.
Amount?
It has 133 million, if my memory serves me. Chair, maybe before I ask colleagues to make specific reference to some of the figures reflected on the slides, as members have also made specific reference to that, the issue around vacancies, which is also a contributory factor on our under-expenditure at national level, Chair, We had a situation where we had quite a number of vacancies in our department, and the reason was that is that since the department has become the Department of Human Settlements with an elevated mandate to human settlements against the former mandate of housing, we had a number of vacancies that we put on hold. However, we identified in the process as management vacancies that were crucial to perform special tasks for the department. We had a rigorous exercise with all branches where we identified those. And we realized that some of the vacancies that existed, which also is a big chunk of money, were not necessarily urgent for our attention until we complete our turnaround process. There are new areas of focus as per our integrated approach now as human settlements that require specialized capacities and specialized talents for the department against the former housing department, which would like to use the money for that. And we then decided to conclude that exercise, look into the new mandate, look into the turnaround strategy we have put in place, and make sure that we put talent where it's most needed. One area, Chair, that we have identified, which we have realized as the critical area for the department, for the sector, for provinces, is the area of project management units. And we have instructed or rather advised our colleagues to make sure that we improve on that. The challenges we have had in the sector in the past revolves around the lack of that capacity, with a lot of technical expertise that is actually need to be sourced to make sure that we manage better our projects. At national level as well, that's where we want to put most of our resources to actually improve on the quality of managing our projects using efficient systems at our disposal. Hence, that issue remained a challenge for us. So we took that strategic decision to try and deal with what capacity is needed in which specific areas to achieve what. So we didn't want just to appoint people for the sake of appointing and end up with a lot of people in the system that may not add value in terms of the new vision and the mission of the department moving forward as a Department of Human Settlements. I think, Chair, that covers some of the high-level issues that have raised by colleagues, and I'll ask the acting CFO maybe to make reference to some of the numbers that have been raised on the slides regarding the presentation. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Dish. Chair, with regard to the allocation in respect of the Urban Settlement Development Grant, which was MIG for cities under COCTA, maybe we add by including it, but we wanted to include it to show comparatives to indicate the current year's allocation as compared to the previous allocation, which was under COCTA. Maybe we should not have included it. We should have just started with the current financial year. But we put it in to indicate what was the previous allocation under COCTA and what is the current allocation, just to enable members to see and compare figures. With regards to the allocations to provinces, the allocations of the Human Settlement Development Grant to provinces is formula-based. It looks at, it uses Stats SA figures to allocate amounts to provinces. It's mainly based on equity, and it looks at various aspects like the housing need in respect of the provinces, and those allocations are then calculated on that basis. And in addition to that, you will then have priority projects which MINMEC would approve, and those then would then be included in various in allocations of various provinces. With regards to the 100 million, Chair, for Hutsong, the original allocation in terms of DORA was 100 million to Northwest, because at that time when the allocation was made, the issue of Hutsong, whether it's under Gauteng or Northwest, had not as yet been resolved. But when the issue was subsequently resolved, with Hutsong moving over to Gauteng, the 100 million was then shifted from Northwest to Hutsong, hence the shifting during the financial year. was a question as well, Chair, on slide 7 with regards to interest paid in respect of financial leases.
The question that he has just answered, I was not asking about 100 million. I said I understood it. I was asking about extra 15 million. I wanted him to explain to, because I didn't get him correctly, where does it come from?
Okay.
15 million, that is, I don't know where it comes from, different provinces, but it ended up in Gauteng, if I got you right.
Thank you, Chair. The 15 million, thank you, Chair, was from the department's operational budget. And it was a reallocation from the department's operational budget to the grant in terms of the Act. Treasury approved that, and it was intended for a project in Gauteng, which the province could not fund. So the source was the operational budget of the department, of the national department. Then on slide 7, Chair, with regards to interest paid on financial leases, yes, there, I think, Chair, there we add, we probably overestimated the required amount based on the fact that there was to be a situation where the department,
Chair,
was...
I'm sorry to retard your progress. This 15 million, what is it for? I hear that you're saying that the project that in Gauteng could not be funded. What kind of a project? Is it a project that... Was it a project that appeared as a result of crisis? What kind of a project that was not budgeted for? Because if it could not be funded, how did it come? Where does it come from?
May I assist, Chair? There was a priority project that the provincial department and the local municipality, Ekurhuleni, as well as national department, prioritized for Gauteng, which was to deal with, I think, Thokoza Hostel, if I'm not mistaken, in terms of electrification. And that was a commitment that was made by the national department and the provincial. That 15 million was used specifically for that particular project.
15 million was actually going towards electrification.
Yes, sir.
You got a follow-up?
No, I've got a follow-up.
Okay.
Because in terms of the Ekurhuleni, the commitment that was made by the minister was 25 million. Now you paid 50. I just want to confirm that. You paid the municipality, you refunded the municipality 15 million. So which means you still owe them, you still owe them the 10 million according to the commitment that was made. So it means you are still going to budget for it. Can you just clarify that one?
Maybe before you respond, departments, government is so compartmentalized. They're saying that now, once you talk about something else, electrification, something else comes. Because in terms of the Department of Revenue, there's a lot of money that is allocated for electrification, blah, 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 those kind of things. Now, we do understand that human settlement has a responsibility of upgrading the hostels. But now, if it goes to... Now you require resources for electrification. Shouldn't they go to the correct department? I think Honorable Sain wants to add. Honorable Sain?
Yes, I've had a burning question that relates to what you're asking now. The grant is a conditional grant.
And I want to refer here to the response by the DG to my earlier question about the deliverables and the actual expenditure. And he indicated that in some provinces they may use an amount to purchase land. But that, in fact, whether that now, as I said earlier, it's a conditional grant for housing. Now, surely the money to purchase land should come from a different budget. But in the event that it comes from this budget, it still highlights the fact that no planning takes place, because you don't buy ground overnight. If you know that you're going to use a certain portion of the budget to purchase land, you know what is left and you know how many units you can then get from what is left. And therefore, I still maintain that there should be some synergy or correlation, certainly, between your expenditure and your final delivery on housing.
I totally disagree with the honourable member. I would have expected him to assist us with this one, because we all know that the grant has also the responsibility of buying the land for the house. I mean, that's a standard practice. So I would have expected him actually to assist this committee with that comment. Chair, I think let us. I don't want to dwell much on this. Issue. I think we need to understand that as human settlements, and I've spoken about the issue of the mandate, our responsibility is no longer about simply putting houses anywhere in any land, irrespective. Our response is much more integrated. And the department took the responsibility of assisting and work as a collective with other spheres of government, and in this instance, the provincial department and Ekurhuleni municipality. The commitment, if I were to respond directly to my honourable chair, was 25 million. However, as per the budget plan, the only amount of money that they requested from the department was 15 million. So, but the commitment that we have made that will make sure this is available and this is done was 25 million. Hence, then we gave 15 million. So it was a joint effort of the national department, provincial department, and the local municipality. And that's a spirit within which we are also trying to promote integration where there is a need to go beyond just dealing with houses on the ground, but to also look into other important needs to make human beings to settle well where they're living. This was the spirit of this particular arrangement, Chair. That was the component. That was the component to be dealt with by the local municipality. You'll remember, Chair, that in terms of the existing legislation, there are certain things that by law you can't do, but there are certain things that must, like the provision of basic services. It's still basically in its operation mainly a responsibility of the local municipality. Hence, they were responsible for the provision.
Before we you know one thing that I like about this inter engagement is that we are dealing with professionals here. One of the things that they must do is to assist us. We are seeking information, clarity, and it must be taken in that spirit. But the DG is saying very important thing here, in that the human settlement is about a lot of topics now. It's not about building houses. And that is why they had to intervene with the issue of electrification of Togo's house, of the MRI. The question still remains. It did not arise overnight. Why then was there not budgeted for? Is an integrated process. We understand that. We understand the broader mandate, like sanitation, maybe electricity, it fits within the mandate. But why was this not in the budget? Why had you had to get a special money for it? Because you did not wake up one day and realize that electricity is not working in Tokoko's hostel. I mean, it should have been budgeted somewhere. Somebody must have budgeted for it, be it is Ekurhuleni municipality or provincial government or yourself, as an integrated project, as you say. Why was it came as a last resolved, and then the minister had to pronounce that we will make funds available, because maybe that is where the problem is. Just educate us. We'll expect it tomorrow.
Now we
are learning. But we needed that kind of honest and fair explanation, because that is exactly what we seek to achieve after the whole exercise.
Just to add more to what the comrade, the honourable member, is saying, you know, we will be really, I don't know the right word to use, comrade chair, but when you pretend that you know and yet you don't know, there's a word that is used. Now, we can't be doing an oversight and allow the department to come here and just speak big English and then we say yes, and yet we don't understand. So when we seek clarity, we are entitled to that clarity. I would want to know, because if the DG is saying this human settlement is not about housing, only building housing, that is fine. Where does the budget come from? Because some of the things that you do, they should be budgeted in other departments. Now, tell us, we must understand, because now you are coming here as human settlement, and there is money that has been used from this budget that is supposed to be coming from the other budget. Those are things that we need to understand. When you say it's integrated, tell us in terms of budget, what happens under these circumstances?
I will allow you, DG, with your team, but I want to you, Ms. Rueda, to prepare to come after them so that you can clarify this. DG is saying, no, there's no need for other departments. Human settlement is this overall thing that can do everything with their budget.
No, I'm just trying to interpret it.
I think the Honorable Member has raised a very fundamentally important point that basically defines the turnaround and the manner in which our department is now doing the work. And Chair, that's precisely what has informed us to focus on a turnaround strategy. One of the key things we are trying to do is to establish key areas of strategic collaboration. One of the challenges we have had, for example, with the area of sanitation when the function was transferred, was to integrate it within human settlements, because our principals and our policy advisors, which is yourselves, have realized that you cannot talk about a human settlement in a rural area without ensuring you provide sanitation. There is an integrated approach to that. We are in the very first phase, Chair. I think that must be acknowledged. We are in the very first phase of beginning to put this thing into practice, into perspective. It's something we have not done it before. And I know, as a former municipal manager, the challenges we have had on housing implementation programs, where we have put houses in areas where there is no access to basic services, such as roads, such as transport, such as schools, such as clinics, such as easy access to job opportunities, economic opportunities, and so forth, where we have placed our people in remote areas. So we are trying to integrate. We are in the first step. I think I've had more meetings with DGs of different departments, telling them what we are doing at human settlements, and let them tell me what will be their role from their budget to assist with a particular project. The Cabinet Lehotla is just focused on three projects that we are doing in different provinces, which is Thekwini, Limpopo, as well as Gauteng. And in those projects, we'll be meeting with different teams from different departments to make sure, as they budget, because it's a multi-layer type of program, because they're quite mega projects, what will be their contribution financially. But as we move along, Jay, we've adopted an approach that says, where right now we can begin to assist COCTA
As a matter of fact, in this coming Friday, COGTA is having its own MINMEC. Human settlements will also be sitting there because we now have a vested interest on the basic provision that is done by COGTA, which is something that we have not done before. We have even established task teams of joint departments to focus on different projects that we do. So this is where this integration is beginning to take its shape. But it's something new, it's something exciting, it's something doable. But it requires a lot of work with different departments to play their different roles. So this is a new thing that we're trying to do. That is why we said you cannot sit back and say that project belongs to Gauteng. It's got nothing to do with it when you know that people are humanly living under bad conditions there. It goes beyond that. So if that's a spirit and that's a context within which the integration is trying to take place, Chair. The turnaround I spoke about is trying to begin to say how then do we do things differently from a new human settlements perspective. I think that's the spirit of it, Chair.
Let's read. Let's hear from National Treasury.
We're
really eating now. We're eating now on other people's time, you know.
Okay, I'm going to be brief, Chairperson, but I think the issues that have just been raised is a symptom of what is drastically wrong in the sector. What is wrong with the institutional arrangements and the responsibilities and who are assigned various responsibilities? And then how do we allocate money for those kind of responsibilities and those priorities? Now, the issue, and I want to go back to the 15 million rand for Tokoza Park, because one, you know, we have the housing, the human settlements development grant has paid for 17 subsidy programs over 28 subsidy instruments. It's an incredibly complex conditional grant. But I think what is critical in all of that is that when you decide on priorities, whose priorities are these? Are they the national priorities, are they provincial priorities, or are they local government priorities? So when, you know, when a province doesn't, when it's not in a province's budget, it means it's not a priority to that province. So in a provincial business plan, this project in this program wasn't on the provincial plan, it wasn't in the provincial budget, but this was a national priority. So if it becomes a national priority, we have a formula, the allocation formula for the Human Settlement Development Grant gives the national department sufficient flexibility to deal with national priorities, and that is just how the formula is designed. So, you know, so around Tokoza Park, it's a broader hostel redevelopment program that would pay for redevelopment, because the housing subsidy program doesn't, the design in the housing subsidy doesn't necessarily pay for electrification. Like you rightly say, we have INEP with the Department of Energy that pays for those things. But around hostel redevelopment, you will pay for that because people pay rent and you can pay that electricity back to the municipality. So those are the kind of issues that I think we're dealing with in the sector, and these are the things that we will have to fix, is how do you assign responsibilities and powers and functions properly, and then how do you allocate the money to deal with that? Thank you, Chair.
Yeah. I really want to come to that when we close. Honourable members, we are almost 30 minutes on the another department's time. But clearly, Honourable Mbile, you're right to say this interaction is correct, it's necessary, but if it is once off, we're never going to be able to resolve these issues, Chairperson. But, Chairperson, let's go towards Wiley. Your last word.
I understand I'm a constraint on now, Slav. But in the Agelu Slalo, I bear with us. I understand where we are coming from. We all we want is to do justice to our oversight, Slav.
Okay.
There are so many unanswered questions here. So many. I don't even know where to start. But I can be flexible in this Slalo. Now that UCO has considered to the fact that the shifting of funds was done or was processed during the end of the third quarter, transferred during the very last quarter, which is February. That is what he said. And clearly that speaks to the reason to slide 13. Why?
You know, that's one issue that I thought that National Trailer needs to clarify.
Immediately after I thought Tishy will touch on that. What will then happen? Because again, I've just realized here, I was interested in KZN because, that is where I come from. But now, I just saw further down that Northern Cape actually received even more, 263. And they were sitting at 87 during the end of the last quarter. What will that then happen? They received this money from Free State. But a rider to that, Madam, that Free State here have spent 212%, and Northern Cape again, Northwest, where they were shifted, Northwest, 187. Where did they get the money? Develope. How did it happen? Because they were allocated 1.1 million, the other one 1.5 respectively. Where did they get the money to overspend? Those two quickly.
Now the question that Honorable Swartu raised earlier, the confusion of the slide, that it's very confusing. But I think that would request you to deal with this question, but we still want National Treasury. You raised the matter that we want National Treasury to resolve. That if the department is requesting resources that are necessary, they've got a budget, they've got their monies are still there in National Treasury, why should it take long to respond? For instance, for the fourth quarter, clearly Parliament is not happy if it says that the spending during the year has been fine, and all of a sudden there is a spike. DG says, I know Johannesburg when I was in Gauteng, so it had to dig to its own, what you call it, pockets, and like Eguruleni before, and they struggle now to get those monies refunded. Now, why do we have to do that? And I want to also ask to find a way forward so that it doesn't happen next time, because we don't want you to come here for planned projects and say that, no, the money was actually allocated late. Sorry, Comrade Mashiko, you wanted to say something. I noticed your hand.
Yeah.
Did you say that he's excited now? I think we're all getting in that mood.
Because when we said we should wind up, but really I think we are very far from winding up, because here as a committee we need a report, we will need the people we represent out there to understand what is happening about the money that we appropriated, that was adjusted and the document we're having, because we know that the house is being delivered somewhere, but what is the substance in it? So far, I don't think we can say why we underspend in monitoring, because when they tell us that there's no capacity, they knew that this issue had to be this activity has to be performed because it was budgeted for. When there are some underspendings and some overspendings which are erratic, we really can just say yes, it had to happen like that in our report. We have to understand why it happened, because as Honorable Mbili said, we are dealing with professionals here. We are here to understand the right facts, so that when we go back to the constituencies, when each and every member of Parliament reads this report, have them some actual facts to take to the constituencies and say, this is what is happening. Right now, we might wind up, and I just pity the economic development people, because really we are very far from winding up. There are a lot of questions not answered here. And when we wind up without a proper report from this department, we'll have done nothing.
you in my introduction, you said, let's take out the transfers than what has been done by this department. Because we have all these important projects which are the basis of these transfers, and nothing, we can't get, I can't say nothing, we can't get substance in what is actually, we don't undermine what they're doing, but what can we take out and write in the report that will come convince us as public representatives that we are happy about what happened. Honorable Yengeni spoke about let's all go out here understanding. We can't say we've had anything and we need to wonder. If we wind up, we wind up by saying, are they coming to tell us something that we can take to the ATC next week? If we wind up, are they coming to give us real, proper facts, breaking down whatever we wanted to hear, maybe with the assistance of National Treasury, because we want a very comprehensive report to present to Parliament. We want to know what we are doing here as public representatives. If we wind up by saying, are we seeing them next week with a very satisfying report here in front of us? Are they going to send us something, a report that won't make us say, no, we'd rather have called them to come and explain. So if we wind up with something concrete, are they coming here next week and tell us what will satisfy us, what will satisfy the public outside there about what is happening here? This is a very important department. It starts from the Freedom Charter. It goes to our government priorities. What are we going to do with this report? Because so far, really, we as a committee, we've had nothing to bring forward to write a report out of it. I think our secretaries are also battling on what to put on paper. Thank you.
Just one. It'll be half a minute. Half a minute, Chair, before the Chair. I'm very concerned, Chair, about this department, because, as my colleagues have said, this is not just any department. All these departments are important, because they are complementing each other. But this one, it's a very sensitive department. Because we need to go, we are expected to go to the public. And when they talk about these issues that are under this department, we are expected to answer. And to tell you the truth, you know, during elections, it is so difficult. There are times, there are areas that we go to, and when you get to these areas, you just tell yourself, no, even if the nature calls, I can't go. But you can't say it to people, because people are staying in these areas, you know, they are, you know. So it's so, we need to understand the problems. We want to get the problems, the challenges, so that we can assist. That is our responsibility. We also want to know the progress. My concern, you know, I don't see this department succeeding if they have no capacity. I don't know how do they allocate money to provinces where they know that they will not be in a position to monitor whether the money will work or the money will not work. Because this shifting, I mean, the business plan is good, but then later on things are not done as it was said in the, you know, it was stated in the plan. And now they have to look for the other province that does better. It shows that really the problem of capacity that the DG is talking about, it's serious. Because if they had people, foot soldiers on the ground, looking, not only looking at these glossy business plans that are brought in front of them, but checking on daily basis that this program is going to succeed, is going to succeed. And when there are challenges, immediately they know before the department, I mean the province, tells them that there's a problem. So I think it's not wise to give monies when you don't know that these monies will be used in the manner in which they are expected to be used. The sooner they speed up the question of capacity, the better. Because if they don't, they will come back next time again, they will tell us the same thing. For me, that capacity problem in this department is paramount.
Chairperson, it's a short one. I want to find out how many money is budgeted for consultants and if that budget is fully used, or how do you call it? If they can provide us with the answer, I don't expect they must give us now. Because if the money is fully used by the consultants, then I have a problem because with my 74% and my other underspending. But if they can provide us what, how many money are budgeted for consultants and how many of these money are being used. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable members, I want to, you're really putting me in a tight corner. I want to agree with what you started it, you must keep quiet. you're quite right. We have an option to allow the department to respond to this important questions. I agree with Comrade Mashir, but when we compile a report, it must be a report that is everyone can understand. And it must be a conclusive report. I agree with that. But the options that we're having is that maybe with the permission of economic development, we allow it to, as we call it, to respond. We have also looked at another date, possible date, hoping that, Comrade Jefferson, it will also allow you the 10th, where we could adjourn, or we, I mean, there are those options. I just want you to assist me with that. Clearly, we need the permission of the other department. Professor Levin.
Thank you, Chairperson. No, we're available. If you call us at 8 o'clock tonight, we're still available. So we're in your hands, Honourable Chairperson. Thank you.
Honourable members, my suggestion is that we with the housing care, I still belong to the old school. With the human settlement, I think that these questions have been raised. Would really, is it possible, DG, that you could come back on Wednesday, the 10th, so that we can engage with you properly? The department, Donor Mashiko, that was supposed to come on the 10th, health, they say that they can no longer come. So we have a, what you call a, yeah. Clearly, but also it means that the department must also be available in their own teaching, in their own program.
Chair, we...
I just want you to address this question now.
Chair, we are more than willing to do that. Thanks that we have invited my honorable chair for portfolio committee. We normally have programs on the day with them. If she allows us, we can do that. However, Chair, I would appreciate if you can also summarize the... I know that we agreed earlier on that you may want us to put numbers into perspective so So the only thing.
Okay, thank you very much, Honorable Stan.
So I'll concur with your suggestion to come back on the 10th, if the chair allows us. And then we just beef up the content, because
I've sought the concurrence of the chair.
Yeah. So the numbers, chair, are there's nothing untoward, except to reconcile your own textbook that you have. That says, other than that, they require a detailed content and context.
Neat.
The meat of it. That we can do, chair, with great pleasure if you allow us to do that.
In fact, I think that as you have the request from the side of the members is that would want to be conclusive at the end of the day. And clearly, we don't want the departments to come here, you go back, you chat there in the slide. Why did the committee invite us? We must be able together to chart a way forward. And I think that somewhere we do need to assist one another. It could be between yourselves and National Treasury, but also, I mean, all kinds of questions have been raised that you really need to address. I don't want to respond, but I do hope that with your large, what you call the staff, that you see the questions have been taken down, so that when we come back on at 9:30 on the 10th, then we're just able to zoom in those questions.
We can see that there's quite a big amount of money on agencies. If maybe we can have a little flyer, I don't know what they call it, to understand exactly what they do, what they did, and when. Maybe if because we're talking about the fourth quarter, the role they played within the fourth quarter.
And the name of those agencies.
Agencies, yes.
Also, I was just checking with my co-chair if they have a turnaround strategy. You know, the PG keeps on talking about the turnaround strategy, the turnaround strategy. You're bombarding us because we don't have it in front of us. But if we could, before the 10th, get access to the turnaround strategy, it will assist.
Protocol, I'd like to do that to the portfolio committee first, Chair, if they want us to do a presentation on a turnaround.
No. You have not yet presented to.
We are in the process of finalizing, Chair. We're busy with the structure linked to that, yeah.
You know, in BB's.
I'll raise it in the context of the budget.
You know, in another world, the way BB is. If you come there, you say to people, the Constitution says, when you have not given them the Constitution, people fight that, no, but you have not given us this Constitution that you're telling us about. You must first tell, give us the Constitution so that we can be able to participate. But, DJ, we're not closing on you, but, even the summary that I was trying to present, I had prepared, I will leave it until that. And I think that Comrade Dambuza, it's very useful, especially for the remark you made about the BRR, that we conclude this meeting. It's going to be very helpful. And so next week, Mr. Cheney, I thought he had been urging you, he wanted to speak, but somehow. But next time, I'm sure you will get that opportunity. Thank you very much. Ms. Rita, what do we do with. I don't think there's much, except that. You'll come back, no? Okay. Thank you very much.
The issue of if the department can assist the committee. Because you can't mention that there is a province that is being dealt with by the National Treasurer as well as the Auditor General. Yet, this is Parliament. You have to spill the beans to the members of Parliament, because we don't know what that province
that has been dealt with in terms of overspending and so on. That investigation, that research has been done. So I think, but with your indulgence, Honorable Chair and members, next week we are going to release the department as the portfolio committee to come before the on Wednesday.
Okay.
But on Thursday, I think we are going to need them for our own process, internal affairs. But really, I think this process has been very, very fruitful, but as well, we, as the members are still require more information, I think the department will be able to provide that information. And in terms of the force, in terms of the quarterly reporting, I would advise that the department provides the committee with the whole information as you normally provide the information to the portfolio committee, so that they can be able to. That is my advice, and as well as the issue of these issues, like the those issues components of the of financial aspect. For instance, the provinces do budget for the land. I think that report must come out clearly, so that they should understand. Because this committee has to report like us, as we are reporting. So another issue, I don't know whether it's possible for the committee, whenever we conduct our oversight, we invite at least two members. But it depends to the portfolio committee, to the standing committee, how do they feel about that one. Because last time we did took that resolution in our strategic planning, that at least there has to be two members that accompany each portfolio committee when they are doing their oversight, so that you at least, although we have to confer to also discuss the issues with the standing committee and the portfolio committee, because there are issues that we can discuss together as well as assisting the department, because our role is to assist the department to perform as expected. So I think that is going to be helpful. Otherwise, we thank you very much, Chairperson, and the Honourable Members, for inviting us.
Thank you very much, Chair. But you are invited to the next session as well, Chair. DG, you are now released.
Thank you, Chair, for inviting us. We'll see you next week.
Thank you very much.
See you.
Thank
you.
At half past nine.
No, it's fine. I'll get that is it. Thank you. Trying to set up your... Are you ready? on behalf of the committee, may I welcome the Economic Development Department, who is also incidentally reporting, appearing for the first time before this committee, but I guess that they learned from the previous meeting what is expected of them. We will apologize, I think the meeting took really longer than we had anticipated. It's difficult for the committee just to stop in the middle of the meeting because the time has come. We have to, as the members indicated, fully understand the issues and, so that together we know where we agree and disagree or what we need to do moving forward. But also the second thing that I need to apologize about is that I'm informed that there was a communication breakdown, and as a result the invitation came a little bit late. But we really thank you for understanding in that area, because you're here to present us, to present to us. But coming to the issues before us is that you, like the human settlement, part of your budget is also constituted by the transfers. Now, as far as transfers are concerned, there is no question. But also, as Parliament, we don't want to make transfers and walk away from those transfers, don't know what they are doing. Somehow, we need to find ways of following up on those transfers. Are they achieving the intended objectives? That we need to know. But as a new department, if you take that those transfers out, then you find a lot of understanding, you know, which is a concern to us. And the reason, among the reasons that we have given for understanding, is that those challenges of personnel and everything. But we would like to invite you and your team just to, in your own ways, tell us where are the challenges, what you intend doing about them. Teachers, may I invite you to address us and introduce your team.
Sanbona Mislado, Sponga Kudle Tuba, Vera Pambigueno. Siezo Guti Nifanereli Nibegisis and Nendava is Vele Pambigueno. So we understand why we had to sit and wait. There's no problem with that. I'd like to. I'd like to introduce Mr. Zweli Momeka. Is our CFO, and Mr. Robert Shaw. He's in my office, and he heads up planning and reporting for the department. So that's the team I'm appearing with today. I'd also like to say that following your introduction, we decided to be a bit innovative, so we've produced an annexure. And I think you'll need to guide me as to whether we will present that, because I think the performance against targets which we've put together will give you a better context and understanding of the environment within which we're operating, and will also show that despite some of the constraints, which, as you correctly identified, with recruitment of suitable personnel, we were able to perform reasonably well against our E&E targets for 2010-11. So with your guidance, Chairperson, we've put it as an annexure, and I would be quite happy to take the committee through either part or the whole of that annexure in order to provide adequate context for you to look at the numbers, as you've indicated in your introduction.
I think that, DG, we are in your hands in terms of how you you think that you sometimes you want to be effective so that you minimize the questions at the end. Sometimes if you you may want to be as short as possible, and but raises a lot of questions because you we're just in your hands how you want to make your presentation.
Okay, thanks. Thanks very much, Chairperson. I will then run through the annexure, but in order to just get things going, go straight into the presentation. With our introductory slide, which indicates that the information presented is based on the 2010-11 audited annual financial statements, and the Auditor General expressed an unqualified audit opinion on the 2010-11 annual financial statements. I would like to say that I would like to first of all congratulate my team headed by Zueli here of keeping my clean record since I've been an accounting officer for several years, but also to indicate that the challenges of starting a department from scratch are probably far greater than one anticipated upon agreeing to take on this task. And I think those are some of the issues we will obviously be discussing with you in relation to expenditure. But let's get down to the central meat of it, which does appear on the next slide, the overview, which demonstrates exactly what you've said. The total adjusted budget was $449.8 million. The expenditure for 12 months is $400.6 million, or 89% of the adjusted appropriation. But then, as you've indicated, if we exclude transfers, expenditure was $44.2 million, or 48% of the adjusted appropriation of $91.3 million. And then, again, to indicate that there's no comparison with the 2009-10 financial year, as the EDD as a budget vote was in its first financial year of operation. You would be aware, Chairperson, I'm sure, that the newly created departments operated through very innovative ways in the first year following the election of the new administration. And really, we were very much an adjunct to the DTI. And that situation effectively continued up until the end of the 2010-11 financial year, and is part of the challenges as well as opportunities. The fact that we were actually able to operate, we do need to acknowledge the role of the DTI and the tremendous support it has afforded us and continues to afford us, albeit that assistance is diminishing as time goes by. The context then, as we are indicating, is that 2010-11 was the EED's first full year of operation, and that the staff grew from 18 to 79 over the financial year. That's actually a 339% increase within a financial year, albeit the numbers are rather small. And of course, if we recruit new people in January or February or March, then we're still going to get considerable under expenditure because they wouldn't have been working for the full period of the financial year. But I think the overarching challenge is not, we wouldn't like to blame it on the Public Service Act or the systems and procedures of the public service. Those are factors. Yes, I was the DG there. That's correct. But what we know from the public service regulations is that we can't fill a position until we have evaluated that position. So the organogram was approved just prior to my arrival. It was approved at the end of 2009. Then we had to evaluate each and every position in order to be able to fill it. And we did a remarkable piece of work. We moved very quickly on the recruitment of the CFO and the head of HR, the chief director HR. And using our own resources, actually, we have been able to job evaluate many, many posts on the organogram. So we've been able to proceed without the use of consultants, for those who might be asking that question. But it did probably slow us down, and it was quite a challenge. But it's not simply those issues. I think in line with the injunction from the president downwards to do things differently, we're saying that if we simply fill positions and comply, we're not going to get the results that we're looking for. And this has been our key challenge, is to find suitably qualified people. As we know, economists are a scarce skill in our country. So we've really been grappling with not as much as filling the post, but getting the right people for the jobs that need to be done. So that's really a part of the context, is to understand that it's not simply the regulations, but it's getting the right people. And also to understand that in terms of our budget structure, compensation of employees is a major cost driver, 60% of the budget, and that does account for lower expenditure. You've mentioned that in your introduction quite correctly. We have applied for rollovers. It might change the expenditure picture. We will explain during the course of the presentation what those rollovers are all about. Moving then on to the overall expenditure figures, I think probably just in terms of taking the chairperson and honorable members through the useful column is the actual percentage spent column, which gives an idea per program of the percent expended on each of those programs. Administration 78, policy development 39, economic planning and coordination 95. And you'll also notice that the figures are the highest for that program. Now, that's the program where we have the transfers from. And there are six entities which report now to the Minister for Economic Development. Three of them are development finance institutions, the Industrial Development Corporation, KULA, and SAMAF.
The third one?
SAMAF, South African Micro Apex Fund. That's the microfinance entity. And then on the regulatory side, the competition authorities, that's both the Competition Commission and the Competition Tribunal, and the International Trade and Administration Commission, ITAC. So we are transferring to those entities. The exception would be the IDC during the year under question, 2010-11. This year we will be transferring funds to the IDC, which arises out of the remedies of the Competition Commission in the Pioneer Food Settlement case, where a agro-processing fund will be established under the auspices of the IDC, and we will be transferring money to the IDC for that fund this year. But last year, the IDC, we didn't transfer any monies to it. So that explains economic planning and coordination, why we've got the high expenditure. That's where all the transfers fall under that program. And as the global picture indicates, the total including transfers, 89% expenditure, but as Chairperson indicated at the outset, it does distort the true picture of the actual department with 48% spent. And economic development and dialogue, which is our fourth program, very low percentage actual spend. We've also broken it down per item classification, but I don't think I'll go through that. I think the key strategic issues appear in the per program breakdown of expenditure. If we can go on to the next slide, Chairperson. Program one. We've actually going to show you two slides here. I've picked it up after we've submitted the input. And let me just explain that this slide does give an accurate picture of the percentage spend in relation to the adjusted appropriation. And it shows 138% on the side of the Ministry, 92% on the Office of the Director General, and 30% under the General Management Services, and the corresponding figures are shown. And then it's also broken down per item classification. But if we can just move to the next slide, unfortunately, that's only on the screen. We did a shift here within the discretion of the accounting officer between sub-programs from general management services. We did a shift of 6.8 to the ministry, and that led to a 99% spend in the ministry and 42% under general management services. We should have probably had another column which said final appropriation, which would have allowed us to look at matters within the discretion of the accounting officer, or if we had to go beyond that, but we didn't. This is the only shift that took place. Okay, in program two then, the actual expenditure is 6.6 million, 39% of the budget, and again, really, it's about the slow rate of filling of posts due to the startup operations of EDD. There is an indication of the sub-programs, which begins to give a sense of the work that we are involved in, growth path and creation of decent work, economic policy, broad-based black economic empowerment, and the second economy. Program three, as we've seen already, we spent 95% of the budget, 359 million of 376 million, and as indicated, this is where the transfers took place to the entities that I've mentioned. And the areas of work or the, captured in the sub-programs are spatial sector and planning, economic development financing and procurement, investment for economic development, and competitiveness and trade. For decent work. And that investment for economic development, competitiveness and trade for decent work is where we also have the transfer amounts coming from those sub-programs. On program four, the year-to-date spending was
450. What transfers do you have there?
Those are the transfers to the entities, the Competition Commission, Competition Tribunal, and International Trade Administration Commission, ITAC. And then on the investment for economic development would be the transfers to Kula and SAMAF. Okay, moving then to program four. Where we spent 4.3%. a very small amount of the adjusted budget of 10.7. And the work being dealt with there is national social dialogue and strategic framework, sector and workplace social dialogue, capacity building for economic development, productivity, entrepreneurship, and innovation. Those are the areas of work contained within that program. Now, just to give a sense of the employment numbers and vacancies, we are in a position whereby the original organogram was approved by the minister with the concurrence of the Minister for the Public Service and Administration before the actual allocations had been made for 2010-11. But in terms of the actual allocations, the total funded posts are 124 for 2010-11. We were, by the end of the year, able to fill 75 posts, and the breakdown in terms of the various programs is indicated: 39 for administration, 14 for planning, 12 for policy, and 10 for development and dialogue, and the vacancy rates are provided there. The number of posts filled additional to the establishment refers to particular secondments. We were able to get some staff seconded, and some of them have subsequently been absorbed. And that takes the number of posts to 79, because we were covering the salaries of those seconded officials. Moving then to an overview of the rollover requests, we have made a request to the National Treasury to roll over committed but unspent funds amounting to 35 million. We are expecting the decision from National Treasury shortly. The rollovers requested in a number of areas. Water affairs. Now, we undertook work with the Expanded Public Work Program departments, and what we were interested in was employment opportunities that could be sustained and thereby become permanent jobs or lead to promotion of entrepreneurship. And there is a program evolving within the Working for Water, which is a furniture-making program. So instead of just harvesting the alien species, they then are setting up workshops and training the beneficiaries of those programs in carpentry skills and business skills in order to build furniture at relatively low cost, which then could be supplied to government departments, school desks, tables, chairs, hospital furniture, etc. So this is an initiative that we have been working on with the Working for Water project, which was in Water Affairs but is now in Environmental Affairs. The Buitumelo preparatory costs refers to the office accommodation. We are located on the DTI campus. We still don't have adequate office space, but a certain building has been made available to us. It's largely contingent on the moving of Cipro. So the portfolio committee actually will be coming for a site visit to the DTI campus just to get a better understanding of our accommodation constraints currently. But in terms of the allocated building, there is a section of the building that we renovated and committed funds around that. We also initiated an economic capacity building course for provincial departments, and we entered a partnership with Wits University, and those funds were committed and the course executed. The Denise Rates refers to the Walmart Massmart case. I think it's headline news today. But the process began even prior to the tribunal hearings. and we, given our own constraints, needed to bring in attorneys to assist us with this case. Then there's various outstanding commitments on capital and goods and services. The big amount refers to the SADC East African Community and the Common Market for Eastern Southern Africa Free Trade Area, the Tripartite Summit, which was ultimately only held in June. But officials began discussions late last year, and there was a CAB memo which was submitted by DTI and Treasury in February, where there was an indication that savings would need to be identified for the funding of the summit. So I did engage with the DG of the National Treasury and indicate that, you know, we would obviously have savings which could be utilized for the summit. Whether or not this rollover will be agreed to, we're not sure, but it's on record, so we felt we need to bring this to the committee's attention and also give the context and background as to how this whole thing came about. Very briefly, the overview of revenue. The revenue collection for 2010-11 totaled $547 million. The main revenue generator for the department is fines and penalties from the Competition Commission, and the revenue projected was exceeded mainly as a result of the Pioneer Food Settlement. So that gives the figures. Then finally, in conclusion, but I will, Andy, as you've guided me, then move into the annexure. Indicate that I think we have done well to achieve an unqualified audit in our first full year of operation, given all the challenges of starting from scratch, having no systems. It's been remarkable to see how much one takes for granted in an established department, which is simply not in place in a brand new department. The DTI did help us, but obviously we had to rely on their systems and procedures. And the challenge continues because we are now migrating from the DTI and having to build up the necessary capacity, but also obviously controls in order to continue with this kind of success. We have filled posts as rapidly as possible. The overarching constraint is the availability of the required talent in the marketplace in the area of economics, economic modeling, economic planning. There is a genuine challenge that we are encountering there. Ultimately, we were able to fill 60% of our funded posts, but of course a number of them were filled towards the end of the year, and hence it doesn't reflect in the expenditure as we would have liked it to. But we believe as we fill posts, our expenditure will improve. Chairperson, then moving into the annexure, the performance against targets, just to give the committee members a sense of what we actually do and how we've performed against our E&E targets. The overview is that, as everyone will know, we finalized a new growth path for South Africa. We encouraged discussion and initiated debate on its key measures. Together with the Department of Performance Monitoring and Evaluation, we have developed a system to measure the employment impact of government programs and policies. Now, this is a critical monitoring and evaluation instrument which we are running jointly with Performance Monitoring and Evaluation, because all of us are aware that our overarching developmental challenge is job creation, and that certainly on the government side, we need to ensure that in everything it does, government is consciously aware of the job creation implications. So, for example, in procurement, are we procuring locally? If we just take a very basic thing like stationery, we've discovered since coming in that obviously we're working through the DTI, that a lot of the stationery is imported when there are comparable local products available. And every time we purchase inputs, we undermine, potentially undermine the sustainability of jobs locally. So, in any event, this system will be looking into all these various things, as well as direct job creation initiatives, which would happen through various departments like DCOG, Public Works, Environmental Affairs, who are working for water, etc., etc. We also engage with various forums of government to align key aspects of work with the principles of the new growth path. We've undertaken extensive engagements with provinces and local governments to align the provincial growth and development strategies and the IDPs to the new growth path. We've provided project facilitation support by intervening to undo blockages which hinder the progress of province-led projects. And we've promoted dialogue to save and create jobs at sector and workplace levels. So if there's a threat of a factory under closure, for example, you might find a provincial MEC will approach us and we'll engage with that factory and see if we can find a way of saving all the jobs, preferably, or at least a larger portion. And there are examples of how that happened. We've also convened economic MinMex to discuss the new growth path, the industrial policy action plan, and the green economy. We've done initial work on economic spatial perspectives as part of the envisaged regional economic planning framework. We've assumed the oversight responsibilities over the six agencies mentioned, those to which we are transferring funds. We've also assisted those agencies, some of them, in obtaining additional funding and working with them to realign and, where appropriate, their mandates to the employment focus of government. We've also been quite proactive, something we've shared with our portfolio committee, around monitoring the performance of these agencies. We've developed a tool which the agencies are required to complete on a quarterly basis, which is looking at key performance indicators, things like turnaround times. I'm sure many of the honorable members would be aware of the frustration out there in terms of some of the agencies making loans to small business and so on, around the time it takes for those who want to engage in the activities to get a response from these agencies. So we've been working hard in that area to improve performance, not simply transferring the funds, but wanting to know more about how the funds are utilized and the pace at which they're taken up. What we also currently engaged with in a big process in close collaboration with Treasury and the DPSA, and the actual stakeholders, is we're in the process of merging the small business lending facilities. So the IDC has a small business loan book, and then Kula and SAMAF, so medium and micro finance. We wanting to house them under the IDC as a subsidiary of the IDC. And we're currently in that process of affecting these changes. We also participated in the Walmart and Massmart hearings convened by the Competition Tribunal, and we worked with the Department of Energy and the IMC to finalize South Africa's new electricity plan. The next slide just gives the table of our E&E targets. So as we can see, because we've broken them down by quarter, although we've combined the first and second quarters, we went pretty far in most of the areas. In cases, like the engagements with provincial and or local government, we were actually able to exceed our target that we had set, and also the engagements with the development finance institutions and the regulatory bodies. Even on the value of special financing facilitated for small businesses and targeted growth sectors and companies in distress, we were able to exceed our targets in that. On the sector plans, we met the target. Spatial plans, we fell a bit below. The interventions in relation to promoting economic development through leveraging state expenditure and procurement, we fell below the target. Social dialogue, we exceeded the target, but the actual agreements, where we were able to conclude agreements, either at the sectoral, workplace, or national level, we fell below the target. The next slides detail, and all this has been audited now, so I'm not sure, Chairperson, if you want me to go blow by blow, because this just unpacks, but it will give the members, now that they have the hard copy, an indication of when we're saying that we produced these policy and analytical papers, what they were about. It indicates exactly what they were about, and then the same for all the E&E targets. But perhaps, Chairperson, rather than go into the detail of all of that, which is now available in the hard copy, I would like to thank you once again for the opportunity, and to hand it back to you. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, DG, honorable members.
Chairperson, no, I can only thank Dr. Levine with this presentation. My question is, I have another question. The question is about this thing of the Walmart mass market situation. That is, at this time, at the news, has nothing to do with this fourth quarter report, but just for my own interest. What is the aim of this? What do the department want? Is it to secure the jobs of the textile industry or the jobs for our people? That's how I see it, because this morning between 5 and 6, there was a long radio. The whole thing was on about this thing. So, in short, what is the aim of the department with this? If it is possible to say for us now, for this report, but it's just my own interest because it is here, 1.3 million on this.
And also,
I will take the same question here, but generally speaking,
You know, it's a new department, and they've done some very good work, and they obviously are restrained by the fact that they haven't got the capacity. So it's a bit unfair to eat them. The only thing that I would like to see in their presentation is maybe the MTF period. To see the MTF period provision.
Them the freeway like that.
Because what they can do is they're not spending the money, so they can actually the adjustments that can be made downwards instead of upwards. Chair.
Members. You're fine. Well, the department is likely members don't really want to engage with it, but for me, it's I think that we do hear the point that you're making about not just employing, but evaluating each job. I think that is important, but. Clearly, it goes with the other issue that you mentioned, the lack of these skills that are out in the market. Now, what is the department doing, you know, to ensure that whether it's in the long term, that area is finally attended to, because we, I understand that the members also take into account that the department is new. They are happy with the progress from our part. I think that come next year, this time, what is it that we're going to be seeing differently to ensure that the goals of the department are achieved. It's a very important department. I think we all agree that it was established because clearly there's a need out there in terms of job creation. But now, how do we achieve these goals because of this lack of capacity? But also, what really worries me, and I think that it worries us sometimes, is those areas which we think that I'm just looking here on slide 7, but also somewhere you also dealt with working for water program, where there's a need to contribute to job creation of those, I don't know whether it's public works or what, where it applies. But what we have noticed is that many departments sometimes tend to underspend to us. It's not clear whether departments don't necessarily take that part seriously. I on page 7, for instance, I'm looking at broad-based black economic empowerment. Main appropriation, there's no expenditure there. The second economy, there's no expenditure there. Now, we think that in the eyes of this government, those areas are important if we think that we really have to balance. If we close this gap of between the haves and the not haves, it's because those areas attention needs to be paid as well to those areas. So what is a department doing in order to ensure that then we can, safely say, refer to departments. And the other last area, for instance, is generally the performance. Is the performance of these institutions, your KULA, your what? I'm sure all of us, public reps, we have referred people to these areas. But I don't know, sitting here, who really succeeds. What is it that a person, an ordinary person, needs to do in order to be successful in applying for assistance with KULA or for what? Because what KULA is supposed to do is supposed to act, in my understanding, like a guarantor. I don't know, I'm not using the right term, to the bank. But KULA says, no, go to the bank. The person has no, or history of banking or anything, and therefore the bank can't really help. So department, I don't know, we have not had the access, well, as this committee. I'm sure the portfolio committee has access to strategic plans of KULA and water. And my understanding, you correct me, the president as well had said that Kula now was going to operate like a bank. I don't know, or whether it's a short-term plan or a long-term, so that people could have direct access to what you call. Is that a process on course?
Let me broaden this thing, because it is capacity of checking the questions from members before they ask. But having said that, mine will be quickly. In fact, it's a rider to what you have just alluded to. But I want to talk to the slide 9 and 10 in particular. Emphasize the frustration that the chairperson has already raised on the issue of capacity building for economic development. I think this is an area as South Africans we have a serious problem with. If we talk about job creations and taking the examples of other countries, that is where should be our focal point. And in this area, DG Mkhwenyana, you have not done much. Hence, you have started very late. You have a serious understanding there. But again, on the question of productivity, entrepreneurship, and innovation, this is worrying. I do accept your explanation is a relatively new department. And in South Africa, we have in the past, I hope the emergence of your department will seek to address this, because we seem to be doing the same thing all over the show. There's no coordination, which talks me again to the issue of. You have touched about the integration of the DFIs. I know, Chairperson, we have been engaging on this, a comprehensive kind of, Chairperson, a report about the integration of the DFIs, because that is where the problem is. One arm does not know what the other is doing. You have the number of them, AJ Kenzie's National Empowerment Fund, you name them. You know, all of them are states, are development finance organization of the same government, and there is no coordination, there is no policy integration, if you like. And what will then become the role, because I was of the view that if we talk about the realignment, it will give a complete picture for all the DFIs, with the hope that it will come out with one mandate, one approach from the state that as to how we are going to deal with the developmental issues of the state or of the country as South Africa. Then there is an issue again of the IDC. To what extent do you then tap it into the major resources of that organization to try and alleviate and provide funding, if you like, to our own entrepreneurs out there, because right now they are not doing that. I'm afraid they are not, and they only concentrate on these mega projects which are profit driven, and it cannot be the purpose therefore of this development institution of the state, only to focus on projects that are geared to make quick bucks and all that. If you can just comment on that, because it's a worrying factor, because of this development institution are scattered all over, and they are not coordinated. As a result, there are no visible results on the ground. It's not glaring at all. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and thank you to the honourable members for the questions. I think very briefly on the Walmart and Massmart, the honourable member is correct. What underpins it all is the issue of securing jobs, and this arises out of the probability of an import surge with which would arise out of the Walmart-Massmart merger. Government did hire the services of an economic expert who did a lot of modeling work and appeared as an expert witness in the tribunal hearings, and indicated, based on that modeling work and international comparison, where actually the case of Mexico would be a strong comparator, is that there was a major rise in imports arising out of Walmart in Mexico, known as Walmex, and a strong likelihood of a surge in imports in South Africa. Now, basically, what it ultimately will come down to is the issue of the conditions. As we know, the tribunal approved the merger with conditions. Those conditions, in fact, were volunteered by Walmart on the final day of the hearing, and they were taken intact. Our feeling, though, is that if we were granted all our discovery items, we had requested the tribunal to grant us discovery on a number of items, which would have enabled us to do an even more rigorous analysis than we did do, that the information would have enabled us to formulate more appropriate conditions. So ultimately, I think we want to secure conditions which are proportional to the might of Walmart and what its investment will mean, not only for retail in South Africa, but also in terms of the supplier industries. That's really what that is all about. If I can just then turn to the principal questions about what we are doing to ensure that we fill posts and finding adequate skills. What we are trying to do is bring in young, talented people initially on contract and then move them into permanent positions as they display their talents and skills, but also try and build them. Of course, that's difficult because we don't necessarily have adequate numbers of mentors in place to develop the skills of the people. But I think we obviously are becoming more proactive and will have to become even more proactive in terms of talent identification out there in the market. Of course, one is always concerned about what other departments will think if we start poaching their best talent in economics and so on. But I think those are some of the approaches that we're using because, of course, the public service regulations allow headhunting to take place if we go through a process and are unable to fill a post that has been advertised and gone through all the procedures, then we are allowed to headhunt directly. So we have been successful in a few cases like that, but there are still other opportunities for us to headhunt quite directly into posts that we were unable to fill through the prescribed procedures. And then obviously trying to nurture the local talent, bring them in at middle management or just below middle management level. Now, the issue of department's underspending on job creation initiatives. I think that's the importance of the system that I was trying to explain that we're developing with the Performance Monitoring and Evaluation Department in the Presidency. Because that system is going to require regular reporting by departments on their job creation initiatives. And if those are feeding into the cabinet level processes, such as the cabinet mahutla, that is going to be a ready-made incentive for departments to really apply themselves very seriously to the issue of job creation. That will be both direct and indirect. We don't want departments to just go out there and fill posts for the sake of filling posts without them being able to make any contribution to better service delivery. So there's obviously a balance which I think is well understood at the level of the executive and which needs to be understood at the level of the administration as well, that simply filling vacancies without making any contribution to service delivery, for example, coming up with bloated administrations and unhealthy ratios of administration to service delivery staff is not going to solve our problems. But certainly the system will really compel departments to apply their minds to the issue of job creation. In the areas of BBBE and the second economy, I think probably it would be important to mention that there were actions undertaken in that area. The growth path itself does contain policy perspectives on broad-based black economic empowerment, and the minister also participates in the BBBE Advisory Council, so the support we give him in that. But there is also work that we've done in the area of the second economy and the social economy. We have entered a partnership with the University of Johannesburg, where we are in the process of setting up training programs for entrepreneurs in social enterprise, as well as establishing a virtual incubator for micro-enterprises through that particular initiative. So there is work that is beginning to take shape in those areas. The performance of Kula and SAMAF, I think it would be important to say that these are matters of grave concern, and I think they underlie the decision to amalgamate these institutions to see if we can get a more robust institution, which will obviously still have to have its own divisions, because we wouldn't like to lose the specificity of microfinance. Microfinance is really what we need to achieve economic inclusion, which is what the second economy initiatives are around. Neither of those institutions has been performing particularly well. Although I think in this past financial year there is some improvement in SAMAS overall performance, both on the corporate side and in terms of its core business side. Kula will not receive a qualification on its audit, but there are a number of areas of concern and challenges with the institution around its performance over the years, including the year we've just completed. They've written off several long outstanding loans now. That's part of the merger process as well, not to take those into the new entity. There are issues around the capitalization. Kula, of course, is entering a direct loaning arrangement now, Kula Direct, and there have been various views about the institution's readiness to rise to the challenge, but there's certainly a strong demand out there for a direct loaning facility. At the same time, their credit guarantee product hasn't had a good uptake with the banks, who complain that it's difficult to utilize. and there's also issues around the senior staffing of the institution. But I'm just pointing these out to indicate that we are quite sensitive to the issues that have been raised by the chairperson, and we are giving oversight, a very serious oversight to these institutions. On the capacity building for economic development, there is the one rollover item there, although that training was directed at provincial departments. But that is also important, that our provincial departments are fully capacitated to be able to engage at provincial, regional, district, local level with the issues of economic development. But there is an initiative currently taking shape with the trade unions, all the federations, where we are embarking on a capacity building initiative, trying to build research and analytical capacity in order for the trade unions to undertake better sectoral analysis and understandings of the challenges which face them, as well as other kinds of workshops and initiatives with the trade unions. We also are hoping that we will undertake similar initiatives with small business, although obviously we do have Kula and SAMAF that are already undertaking those kind of activities. So we want to also make sure that they undertake those activities optimally. On productivity, entrepreneurship, and innovation, I would echo or agree with the concern. We do now have some capacity in place in this area because those are also clearly critical areas if we are going to be able to successfully confront the job challenge in our country. And I think what underlies this is, as the Honourable Member has indicated, that the role of EDD in coordination is extremely important. The Honourable Members are aware of the outcomes-based monitoring system of the Presidency and the outcome, which is one of the key electoral mandates on employment creation, where we're working closely with the National Treasury and the Department of Trade and Industry. We have, in agreement with those departments, as EDD, taken a lead role at the officials level to assist in coordination of the various elements of that outcomes program in order to achieve the ultimate desired outcome, which is increase in job creation opportunities. Maybe then just to indicate that we did get an allocation for this year for Kula Direct of 55 million, which we'll be transferring to Kula. And again, there on the performance side, we've met with the chairperson very recently to express concerns around the sluggish pace of the rollout of that program. But hopefully, we'll get faster movement now coming from that. I hope I've addressed the issues. Thank you very much, Chair.
There are no follow-ups. I just wanted this stage to the maybe the other thing one that needed to say is to congratulate you on the unqualified audit. But a report, but members of parliament normally sometimes take that with some caution, you know, because it's not in all cases, but a qualified audit, in fact, there's no proper relationship between the audit outcome and the performance of the department. That you submit all your receipts and what you can account for everything that you say that you have done. But also, I mean, from our side, we are also interested in engaging the Auditor General. That, in
report doesn't just be a report that will, you've got all the numbers are correct. But would really like to thank you in this first engagement. I'm sure it's only the beginning. Today, what we normally do, as we did with the human settlement, is to invite the portfolio committee to be part of this process. However, the portfolio committee on economic development this week is also a week for oversight for committees out on oversight. I'm sure next time when we engage, they will also be with us. On this note, I would like to thank you very much for the patience of waiting when we engage with other departments. And I didn't give Mr. Naidu, but because Mr. Naidu, there were no questions that really needed your assistance. With the instruction of the Secretary, we are invited to all assemble at dining hall. With the permission of Honorable Mbili, raising the matter yesterday. Well, other members and colleagues, we're all invited to the dining hall. The meeting stands adjourned. Thank you.
We are going to